Hello, my name is Stacy Nechama Goldman. Welcome to Torat Imacha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacy Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Tet, Chapter 9. After having enumerated the genealogies of all the tribes Ezra was able to record, he now turns to those who merited to return to Yerushalayim in the first Shivat Zion, the return to Zion, which occurred with the Persian victory over the Babylonian Empire in the mid-6th century BCE, when Cyrus the Great, otherwise known as Koresh, allowed all those who had been displaced by Nebuchadnezzar to return to their homeland. He begins with those from the tribe of Yehuda, and then Binyamin, followed by the Kohanim, and then the Levi'im, who are divided between the singers and the gatekeepers. He then describes the role of the different Levi'im and concludes with the lineage of Shaul and his descendants. There are many parallels between our chapter and Nehemiah chapter 11, which we will discuss when relevant. Ezra opens here with an explanation of why he left certain lineages out of this book in the previous chapters. B'chol Yisrael hityachsu, v'hinam ketuvim al sefer malchei Yisrael, v'yehuda haglu lebavel b'ma'alam. And all Israel traced their genealogy, and behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. But the Judeans were exiled to Babylon because of their treachery. Ezra explains that they're not included in this book, but one can find them in the book of the kings of Israel, which the Radak informs us is no longer extant, like other books referenced in the Tanakh, such as the book of the Wars of Hashem. Radak continues to explain how the tribes in the northern kingdom of Israel were essentially lost in the Assyrian exile, with the exception of those few who were able to remain in the Judean kingdom that was not exiled until the Babylonians. These people were able to return in the days of Ezra, and this is what is recorded in this chapter, those who returned to Yerushalayim. This list of returnees begins with the first settlers, who Metzudat David tells us were those who returned with Zerubbabel, who led a return to Israel right after Cyrus's decree, around 100 years before Ezra. He explains further that they did not necessarily settle in Yerushalayim, as that was not where they were from originally. You can see that Jerusalem is not mentioned in the verse. V'hayoshvim harishonim asher ba'achuzatam ba'arehem, Yisrael ha'kohanim ha'levi'im v'hanitinim. And the first settlers who were in their inheritance in their cities were the Israelites, the priests, the Levites, and the Netinim. Who are the Netinim? Metzudat David explains that these were the Giv'onim we read about in Yehoshua chapter 9. These were one of the Canaanite nations that would have been destroyed by Bnei Israel when they conquered the land of Israel. Rather than surrendering to them, the Giv'onim dressed as if they had traveled from a far-off land, not their home of Canaan, so that they could make a treaty with Bnei Israel. When their ruse was discovered, Yehoshua refused to renege on the treaty he had made with them, even though it was built on false premises, but rather he placed them as woodcutters and water carriers. In order to understand why they are called Netinim, we need to hear the verse from Yehoshua chapter 9, verse 27. Vayitneim Yehoshua bayom hahu chotvei etzim b'shoavei mayim la'eda ulemizbach Hashem ad hayom hazeh al hamakom asher yivchar. And Yehoshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord to this day in the place which he would choose. The Hebrew for "and Joshua made them" is Vayitnam Yehoshua. Vayitnam has the same Hebrew root as Netinim, Nun Taf Nun. Malbim explains at this point in his commentary to verse 2 that this is where the text becomes parallel and almost identical to chapter 11 in Nehemiah, albeit with certain discrepancies. He explains in his commentary to Nehemiah that some of the inconsistencies are simply Nehemiah adding details that Ezra omitted for the sake of clarity and completeness, and are not necessarily contradictions between the two accounts. Metzudat David explains that Nehemiah did not mention the small amount from Ephraim and Manasseh, which are referenced here in verse 3, because they were such a small amount. He also explains the discrepancies with Nehemiah as minor and not significant. The Malbin explains why verse 11 does not match its counterpart in Nehemiah chapter 11, also verse 11. Here is our verse in Divrei Hayamim. Ba'azariah ben Chilkiah, ben Meshulam, ben Sadok, ben Marayot, ben Achituv, Negid Beit Elokim. And Azariah, the son of Chilkiah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Tzadok, the son of Meriot, the son of Achituv, the ruler of the house of God. And now here's the corresponding verse in Nehemiah. Sariah ben Chilkiah, ben Meshulam, ben Tzadok, ben Meriot, ben Achituv, Negid, Beit Ahelokim. Everything is the same, except for the first name mentioned is Sariah, not Azariah. You can hear that he's called Azariah in Divrei Hayamim and Sariah in Nehemiah. Malbim explains that Chilkiah was the father of Sariah, who was the last Kohen Gadol that was killed by Nebuchadnezzar. His great-great-grandson Yehoshua was the Kohen Gadol during the time of Nehemiah. His main name was Sariah, but he went by Azariah in Bavel. When Nehemiah learned that his proper name was Sariah, he switched it to that in his book. Upon reaching the gatekeepers in verse 19, Malbim explains that these were the descendants of the original gatekeepers from the time of King David, who would guard the gate of the king and also the tent where the ark was kept before the temple was built. Verse 20 mentions Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, as the ruler or Nagid over them. Upinchas ben Eleazar, Nagid haya alehem, lefanim Hashem imo. And Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, was the ruler over them in time past, the Lord being with him. Radak references many midrashim about Pinchas in his commentary. One midrash shows his longevity, as he was one of those who left Egypt. The Levites were not killed from the sins of the spies, since they never wavered in their desire to enter the land of Israel. And he was alive during the episode of the concubine on the hill, which we explained in the last chapter. With regard to this episode, he also quotes a midrash that the Shekhinah left him because he did not release Yiftach from his oath. This is referring to the judge Yiftach in the book of Judges, chapter 11, who made a conditional vow before heading out to fight the Ammonites. He said in verses 30 to 31 of chapter 11 of Judges, Vayidar Yiftach neder la'Hashem vayomar, Im naton titen et b'nei amon biadi. And Yiftach vowed a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the children of Ammon into my hand, v'haya hayotze asher yetze midalte beti likrati v'shuvi v'shalom mibnei Ammon, v'haya la'ashem v'ha'alitihu ola. And it will be whatever comes forth, that shall come forth from the doors of my house towards me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall be to the Lord, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. When he returned home victorious from battling the enemies, the first being to come forth from his doors was his daughter. He was convinced he needed to sacrifice her because of his vow. There is a debate among the rabbis whether he actually sacrificed her or sent her to a monastery never to marry or have children. How does Pinchas, and specifically our verse, fit into this story? Since Pinchas was a judge at this time, he had the ability to release Yiftach from this vow. The Midrash Tanchuma explains, but was not Pinchas there? Still he said, and I cannot retract. However, Pinchas had said, I am a high priest and the son of a high priest. Shall I lower myself and go to an ignoramus, an Am Haaretz? But Yiftach said, I am head of the tribes of Israel and head of the magistrates. Shall I lower myself and go to a commoner? Between the two of them, that poor woman perished, referring to Yiftach's daughter. So the two of them were liable for her life. In the case of Pinchas, the Holy Spirit left him. And in the case of Yiftach, his bones were scattered, as stated in the book of Judges 12:7, and he was buried in the cities, which is stated in the plural, of Gilad. So his bones were in many cities. The Radak explains that this is why our verse uses the past tense, and Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, was the ruler over them in time past, the Lord being with him, but he is no longer. Verse 35 begins the line of Shaul, which was also delineated in the last chapter. Mitzudat David offers that perhaps this is because we are about to begin the narrative of King David in the next chapter, so Ezra wanted to end this section with the line of King Shaul. Malbim explicitly states that he does not know why this is repeated here and offers a midrash from Pesachim 62b. Rami Barav Yuda said that Rav said the following about the Book of Genealogies. From the day the Book of Genealogies was hidden and no longer available to the sages, the strength of the sages has been weakened, and the light of their eyes has been dimmed, as the book contained the reasons for many Torah laws and lists of genealogies that are now lost. Marzutra said, the Book of Genealogies exposition of Chronicles was so extensive that it was said in exaggeration that the verse from the word Atzel mentioned in the verse, and Atzel had six sons, and these are their names, Azrikam, Bokru, and Ishmael, and Sha'aria, and Obadiah, and Hanan, all these were the sons of Azel, which we read in the last chapter of Chronicles 8:38. To the word Azel mentioned in a different verse in our chapter with the identical wording, and Azel had six sons, and these are their names, Azrikam, Bokru, and Ishmael, and Sha'aria, and Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel, from 1 Chronicles 9:44. So those bore 400 camels of expositions written about these verses. This is referring to all the seemingly superfluous verses that do not offer us any new information, and in fact repeat the same genealogies from one chapter to the next. If only we had the strength, we would have so much more depth of understanding. We have now completed the genealogical portion of the Book of Divrei Hayamim. Our next chapter will begin the narrative section encompassing the stories of Shaul and David. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Zvi Yosef.